Hello and welcome to episode 51 of the Choosing Happy podcast. I'm Heather Masters, and this week I have a wonderful chat with Fifi Mason. What a beautiful soul she is, and she is the Introverts Impact Coach. So for those introverts amongst us, especially in business, this is for you. She helps us introverts come out of ourselves, find our voice, and show up purposefully. All this and more in this week's Choosing Happy podcast. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Choosing Happy podcast. And I have the great pleasure of chatting with Fifi Mason today. Now, she is the Introverts Impact Coach and is a personal brand and visibility coach. Her mission and purpose is to help individuals with quieter voices show up authentically, amplify their impact, and create the change they wish to see in the world. And I know I'm certainly one of those. Welcome, Fifi.
Hi. Well, thank you so much for having me.
I really resonate with what you do. Could you begin by telling us a little bit more about your story and how you became the introverts coach?
Yes, I can do. So I started out in 2018 as a brand and website designer, freelancing. And that first year was an incredible year for me. I mean, going from working in industry to doing it for myself was a big, scary thing to do. But it worked out quite well to start with. I got some incredible clients that really made things take off, and I really enjoyed it. But towards the end of that year and into 2019, I started realizing that I was attracting the wrong kinds of clients. And some of these clients, they would be demanding so much from me, so much more than I could give them, wanting extra time and more time invested than they would actually pay for. They would come back time and time again for iterations on things that I didn't agree with. They just didn't value my expertise. They didn't see any value in what I could bring to the table in terms of my knowledge and understanding of design. They just wanted it their way, and that was it. And I had some very difficult clients, one after another, which kind of woke me up to this kind of uneasy feeling of, what am I doing with my business, and where am I going with it, and why have I got all these clients that I just don't get along with? There's personality clashes, and we don't value the same things, clearly, and so much was wrong. And I mean, some of those clients would leave me in tears. Mm-hmm. I would get off the call from them, and I would be just cry, because that was, I just didn't want to work with them. I just, everything was not going the way I wanted it to. And so I knew I had to make a change. I had to do something drastic and really get clear on who I wanted to help the most. Yeah. And so I went on this self-discovery journey, and it was a personal brand journey to really start putting myself out there to attract the right kinds of clients. Yeah. And figure out who they were and what they were all about as well. And the thing that I had noticed during the year previous, and the reason why I was attracting these wrong kinds of clients, was because I wasn't being myself. I was hiding. I had one picture of myself, one photograph that I would post, and that was it. I didn't like sharing anything else.
I resonate.
I wouldn't share anything personal. It was all very straight, bland content, I suppose you would say, but it was just straight facts. regurgitated information that anyone could talk about, because it, and there was nothing unique. There was nothing there that was gripping people and bringing them to me specifically. And a lot of the work I was getting was from just referrals as well. I wasn't even being consistent. I wasn't even showing up on a consistent basis either. So all of these became a problem. And I later identify this and bring this back to self-silencing, which we will probably get into today, which we're going to talk about. But it really was clear that I was hiding myself, hiding who I am, and I needed to make these changes. So the self-discovery journey that I went on was really how to bring more of myself into my brand and start attracting the clients that I wanted to work with the most. So this journey was figuring out who I am. That's how it started, figuring out what I'm all about, my values, what I care about the most, and then finding my people, the people that really resonate with my story, need my help and expertise specifically, and then how to communicate that and get it across and articulate everything that I'm about in a way that connects and really people can relate to. And so this whole year, this whole journey that I went on, I realized that it was the quieter people, the quiet types like myself, the more introverted people that really needed my help, because that was my struggle as well. And so it made sense to take this process that I'd been on, this personal brand journey, because I fell in love with the process, and help other people like myself with this struggle to embrace themselves, embrace their personality, and really start showing up and attracting the clients that they want to attract. So that's how I ended up doing what I do today.
Can I just ask a little bit about the process? Because obviously you've come up with this process. Did you look for coaching or outside help, or was it something that you came up with yourself?
It was a mixture. So I did have a coach at the time and did a few sessions with her, and it really clarified a lot for me. And she was just a local coach that I saw at a speaking event, and it was just having that external perspective really helped with that. And then learning, reading books, watching everything that I could get my hands on, and just figuring out this whole process of figuring out who you are and then how to put that across in the right way. And it was just an incredible journey for me. So taking other people on that journey, it just made sense for me. Yeah.
You mentioned some of the books. Could you name a couple? What was your favorite? What was the most important one for you?
One of my favorites was Mark Schaefer's Known. I actually had the incredible opportunity to interview him. Maybe I think it was the year later or the year after that as well, which was really, really like one of those amazing moments where you've learned from someone and you look up to them and then you get to meet them and talk to them about it all, and that was incredible. But his book, and there was a few others at the time, Chris Ducker, who does the Upreneur stuff, so lots of podcasts, lots of books, lots of YouTube videos, just going on that process. And anyone can learn this stuff by themselves. It's not something you need a coach for specifically, but I do think having that external perspective worked for me as well. Having someone question things, take me down different avenues that I hadn't explored, and it really did help to bring it all together for me.
So do you work specifically with entrepreneurs?
Not specifically entrepreneurs. I did for a time worked with business owners, introverted business owners, and anyone who has some kind of business. But now I've narrowed my niche even further, and I'm working now with quiet coaches and introverted impact makers. So those who have or at least desire to make a change in the world in some way and have an impact on other people's lives. So life coaches in some way, it could be just innovative business owners who just really want to help other people, and that's their driving force. Yeah.
That's really quite powerful. I completely relate, and funnily enough, my podcast yesterday touched on this a little bit in terms of the skill set, especially as a solo entrepreneur, that you do have to be seen, you do have to show up. There's no escaping that now, especially with video and photos and all of that good stuff. What do you find as the biggest challenge that people come to you with?
The biggest challenge, well, it's what I've noticed in the maybe last year or so has been the biggest challenge that people face, especially in the beginning stages. So maybe I'll talk through the stages that I've noticed and identify. Okay. So in this journey of becoming known, and becoming known is to kind of increase the demand that we have. And the demand could look like just opportunities that come your way. It could be more clients that come your way. It could be raising your prices. There's different ways of looking at that. But if you imagine at the beginning stages, you're unknown and in low demand. And what we want to get to is known and in demand. And in that journey, we are building our audience and we're building our authority. And the first stage that we go through is this show up stage. That is the stage where many people can struggle with what I call self-silencing. And we hit this invisible wall that stops us from showing up, stops us from being visible. And that's an amalgamation of different fears, different worries that we can get into, but it really just stops us from putting ourselves out there and being open and being authentic. And it's a real struggle in that beginning stage. And what we want to do is get from that stage to the next stage, which is show up consistently with confidence and conviction. And I also call this the message stage, because in the first stage, we're in this me headspace, and we want to move from me to the message headspace, where we're perfecting our message, we're getting clarity on our message. And in this stage, the major struggle is partly to do with self-silencing, and most of it is to do with our belief and a lack of belief, a lack of balance, and a lack of belonging. And that's the stage where you might be in when you want to work on your personal brand and really get clear on how you're going to show up, what you want to be known for, and what you want to stand for as well. So that's then the second stage. And then it goes on to the final stage that I've identified, which is really the challenges that we face when we're trying to amplify our impact and make a bigger difference in the world. And it's really around communication. And we've moved from message to messenger.
Right.
And there's a big struggle, a big challenge there to become the messenger that we're meant to be. But yeah, so the three different stages, three different challenges that we face. But the most major, most difficult challenge is often self-silencing and moving past that.
Wow, that's really powerful. I completely relate. I think I'm in the middle now. I'm getting consistent, yeah. But I really need to look at the messaging. So that's where I'm at with mine. So yeah, very powerful. So self-silencing, what are the forms of self-silencing that you see most of?
Well, there are the five most common or most likely reasons you might be self-silencing that I can go through today. But there are other reasons, and I can kind of touch on that as well. But the first five that, or the most common five reasons, are around the fears, around the worries that we might have or holding us back. And self-silencing is when we hold back our thoughts, our opinions, our experiences, sharing the stories about our own life, sharing any kind of perspective that might not be what other people could agree with, anything that might be seen as controversial in any way, or thoughts, ideas, opinions, and perspectives, all of those things. When we have a fear of sharing those because of mostly perceived consequences. And I say mostly because there are some real consequences, but they are often more often they are perceived. They are things that we think are going to happen and they're not actually going to happen. So we can go through the five core reasons you might be self-silencing. And I'd love to hear if you recognize yourself in these as well. So the first one is you are terrified of sharing more about yourself, your views, and your business because what people you care about might think or say. And it's really the fear that those you care about will see you differently. They will have a different opinion on you. And it's specifically those you care about. And I find that it's more family, friends, peers in your industry. It could be old colleagues. It could be just those people that you've had in your life at some point who know you a little bit, like acquaintances. And it's more often than not that those people you care about and the opinion that they hold about you, and you don't want to change their opinion in any way. And that is one of the biggest, most common reasons. And it's all around the fear of rejection and feeling that if you said something that they might reject you or judge you in some way. So do you recognize yourself in that one at all?
I did. Mine was a little bit different in the sense. Mine was a little bit more around that it wasn't that they'd reject me so much, although that was a little bit of a fear, but that they would also go out of their way to take me down, which is quite interesting. But yeah. So that they would sabotage what I was trying to build, which completely fictional, but for some reason that was there as well.
Yeah, I get that. And that's an interesting observation of how it's slightly different for you. And that, yeah, and I see how that could actually manifest, because it goes to a place of, well, what are they actually, when they change their opinion about me, or if they in some way don't agree, they're going to take this next action. And it kind of just goes a bit further. And like you say, very often, well, you would think friends, family, that they're never going to do that ever. But there might be that odd instance that you have a family member that would do that. And I think it's very highly unlikely, but just that might is still there in the back of your mind, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And there's a strange, well, not the strange thing, the most important thing, I think, is to really wake up to the fact that your point of view and your stand is what's going to keep you delivering in your business. It's going to keep you motivated because it's on purpose. And if you're holding back from doing that, as you say, people really aren't going to see you for who you actually are.
Yeah, exactly. And then if they're not seeing you, they're not building that trust, they're not going to it comes back to the know, like, trust factor, which many people talk about, and it really is a thing. Like, people need to know more about you. They need to understand your perspective. They need to know what your stance is to be able to connect with you in that way. So it's very important. Okay, so that was reason number one, the worry that those you care about will see you differently. Reason number two is you feel responsible for other people's feelings. And this one, especially as coaches and impact makers who I work with, is a difficult one, because we often lead with empathy and understanding, and we need those skills. We need those to have that developed skill. But when it turns into this sense of responsibility for other people's emotions, that's when it can get in the way and stop us from speaking out or taking action. And how this kind of manifests, and it could look different online or compared to how it might be in person. But online, if you were to say something, maybe one way that it really shows up for business owners specifically is being promotional and worrying that those in your audience, your followers, are going to get upset or annoyed because you're being salesy, and really taking on that responsibility of being, well, I can't put that out there because yesterday I said this about and sold something, and I don't want to be too promotional because I might annoy people. And just taking on that responsibility of how people are going to react to what you're doing. Maybe it's going to upset them, maybe it's going to anger them in some way, and they might think that you are pushy. And it's just that, taking on that responsibility when it's not your responsibility. Mm. Another way that it kind of shows up as well is if you was to share that you've won an award, or you've just completed some training and you've got your certificate, and you might feel that instead of sharing that and being proud of it, you might feel that people think you're bragging or showing off. And that's kind of how it shows up a lot for those that really struggle with this. It's really just what I suppose it still comes back to, a lot of the judgment and fear of that, but it's in a different, from a different perspective, a perspective where it's emotionally led, where you think people are going to react in a certain way emotionally. And so you take on that responsibility and decide, I won't share that because I don't want to upset someone and rock the boat in some way. So that is a very big one for a lot of people.
Yeah, there's quite a wide remit in that one, from the sales even through to posting your point of view, for instance. I do feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I do feel that perhaps people are a little bit less, there's more censorship at the moment, and there seems to be a lot more people getting angry and upset, more easily upset online. And I know that's not a reason for not posting, but I can see that probably now it's more of a concern, if you like, when you're putting your point of view out, especially if you have a particular point of view on some of the stronger topics, but that they relate to your business. So yeah, I think that's interesting. And just to share, one of the beliefs that I uncovered around all of this is that I was interrupting people. And obviously that comes from childhood, don't interrupt. So I wouldn't put things out. For instance, I've been promoting things over the Black Friday weekend, but I've been doing it once a day, and I've been watching other people, like 3 or 4 or 5 posts over the weekend, and I'm thinking, I should have been doing that, and it's still in that I don't want to interrupt or over promote. So yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, and I get it, and I think it does come back to also people pleasing in a sense as well, like not wanting to, well, I suppose even if you was to take out upset and anger and just be the one that is making people smile, making their day easier, it can come back to that. It's more, I don't want to affect in any kind of negative way, or just be not even annoying. It's more inconvenience anyone at all ever, and getting stuck in that kind of people pleasing mindset, and I think it really can hold people back. And I struggled with people pleasing in the early days, and that was part of the problem with the clients that were very upsetting. It was I was trying to please them and not succeeding, and it was at the detriment to my own health and mental health. And so when we do that in our just everyday interactions with people, it could just even be friends and family, or it could be in a social media setting. But that's when we're just trying to be this pleaser all the time. And it just means we can't make the impact that we want to make very often and connect in the way that we want to connect. It just becomes this walking on eggshells kind of way of living, and no one wants that. But you did make an interesting point as well about how right now people are very quick to get emotional, and I do see this a lot, and it's something I plan to talk about a bit more in my own content, exploring more of those sorts of things like cancel culture and talking about how the knock-on effect of seeing people who are being criticized and brought down in that way, and how that impacts us in general. And keeps us from wanting to say anything, speak out on certain things, because we don't want to rock the boat and upset people who are just easily to just jump to conclusions, not actually engage in debate about things, and just take their emotions as fact. And it's very interesting. So yeah, something to be aware of and explore and delve into a bit more, for sure. I relate to your story.
Yeah, I think the additional thing with the new law on, people being arrested for expressing their opinion as well in the UK, that kind of gets you to question how you phrase things, how you put things out there. It does feel like, yes, you still want to express your truth and say what you want to say, but there is that recognition that if it's taken the wrong way, then, if you're not using the right words and they think it's inciting hatred just because you're disagreeing with a certain perspective, then, they do have the supposed power to arrest you at the moment, which is a bit scary as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely something we should be standing up for. And that's part of the work I want to do going forward. So I think it's a pivotal time in society right now to actually acknowledge what could happen if we allow things to continue. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for us all to find our own way forward. And this self-silencing, it could also be termed as self-censoring, is really part of this story, part of this as well, and really taking the steps to go on this beginning journey of just being more open and allowing yourself to realize that most of the fears that you have are perceived. And when the real fears come, these are things that we need to kind of fight back on.
Yeah.
And that's my perspective on that. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay, so we're at number two. So we're on to number three, which is you feel your thoughts and ideas are insignificant. So this one is around the idea that you have these, whenever you have a thought or whenever you have something that you think, oh, I could talk about that, but then you have this next thought of, but why does it matter? Why would anyone care anyway? And it's around your self-confidence, and it makes you second guess your worth, and that it sharing your ideas and knowledge is just kind of pointless, and maybe thinking that in some way. So maybe you've drafted out a blog post, or you've gone to post something on social media, you've wrote it out multiple times, gone back and forth with it, and you're just about to publish it, the blog, or press post, and then you've just thought, why, what is the point? Like, no one's even going to care, so I'm not going to bother. And this becomes, yeah, this is one of those that just holds you back in that way that you just think you're a quiet voice in this louder world that isn't going to make any difference. So why should I even try? And that's often a big struggle for those of us who are quieter as well, specifically, I think, where we've been in this world where we've often kept our thoughts to ourselves. We're more inward focused and internalize our thoughts a lot more, and when we put them out there, we're just like, well, who's gonna care? Like, there's always someone else saying these things anyway. Yeah, so that's another one.
Yeah, it's the someone else saying these things much better than I can is usually the bit that I add on to that. And what I realized was that I have been very lucky in terms of my training in NLP, my training in online marketing, that I've worked with and learned from the world-class leaders. So I qualified as a trainer of NLP with Tad James, who was one of the first master trainers in the world of NLP. And I, in terms of online marketing, I first learned from Brendan Burchard when he really, way back in the day when he first started Experts Academy, and went on to learn from a guy called Mike Klinger, who's was really high in the space at the time as well. And now with Atomic and with James Wedmore as well. And these are all masters at what they do. And there's that comparison then, you know, should I put this out there? Because it's like, no way is it anywhere near the quality that these guys are doing. But then you have to realize that quality and mastery is that 10,000 hours, and they've done theirs, and I'm at the beginning. So yeah, that was always a big one.
Yeah, it's kind of feeling like it's often comparing and comparison, but feeling like you're a drop in this massive ocean that you just can't be the one heard anyway. So why should I even bother? And it's an interesting one, and it's slightly different to number five, which I'll get into shortly, because that's more around the feeling that you're not the right person. But this one's just not feeling that you matter at all. So you just think, I shouldn't even speak on this, because what does it matter? And yeah, it's very interesting. But like you say, it's all a journey, and you can't even compare yourself to someone who's been doing it a year more than you, because every journey is different, and every person has different things that happen and in their lives, experiences that can influence all of it. So when you see these people saying, if you follow my step-by-step process, you'll become rich like me. And I'm just like, even if you followed every single thing they did, it's not going to be the same outcome, because the smallest variable could be that they have no children and you have children, for instance, would make everything different. So no way you can...
The mindset is the main thing. Everyone's mindset is different, and everyone's experience and how we create reality is different. So that's actually the biggest impact on results, and probably the most under-recognized in some places. But mindset is something like 70-80% towards success, but it's a very low quoted statistic. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Just having a slightly different upbringing, meaning that you have a different outlook on something specific, and that means you approach something differently and your mindset is different. Like, there's just so many that variables that you just can't ever follow someone's way of doing things and actually get the same results. So it's very true. Okay, so that was number three. Number four is, you're unsure you could defend your ideas. Now, this is one that I find is a real struggle, especially now, as you say, with a lot of the cancel culture and the enmity of online media as well. So on social media, where you can get people like piling on you and really just being negative because there's no consequences for them. And so it's the thought that having to defend your beliefs and opinions is just absolutely terrifying. And if you was to be face to face, this situation might be more that if you're put on the spot, you will be at a loss for words and you might stumble and you might stutter and you might not actually be able to communicate your ideas clearly. And then, and especially if you're more quieter and more introverted, going up against someone with a stronger personality who's more assertive, potentially quite intimidating, you can fear that things could get a bit out of control. It could be aggression. It could be just not even to that degree. It could just be that you feel over like spoken over and diminished in some way. And then in the online world, as I said, it's very different because you've got that anonymity of people who can just say whatever they want because no one's going to know who they are at all. They have fake profile or whatever. And then you have those people that just feel a bit more braver because it's online and there's no kind of fear of that it could get physical in some way, which is a genuine fear in real life when you have a disagreement that could happen, especially between men. It just means that you might just hesitate. You might decide, I don't want to express this opinion or share this. It could be even a story about yourself, but you don't want to do that because you don't want someone to come back and question. You don't want them to come back and say, no, I don't agree with this. And so you stick to less controversial stuff. You might put out, I found a lot of people did this early days in their business, and I probably did it too. Just posting those generic quotes of other people's content. And I mean, now and again, that's great if you can give context to it, but I think it's very easy to hide behind that kind of thing and just never have your own opinion because you're afraid of someone actually questioning you or any kind of conflict in some way. And it does come back to what we said earlier around a bit of the emotional side as well, angering people in some way too. So that's number four.
Yeah, I recognize that the conflict averse part of me. And interestingly, there is, like, if I feel there is something important to say, and it's in alignment with my values. And if I'm being kind of, I don't want to use the word, threatened. If I feel threatened, I'm more likely to say it and stand up, which is really interesting. If I think there is a path that maybe the conversation is going down, which is kind of unfounded, potentially aggressive, potentially going to influence other people in the same way of thinking, I won't stop myself from bringing it back to kind of, there are other approaches. Have you thought of this? Have you thought of that? For instance, my Twitter, I'm a retweeter without writing. And there's a couple of reasons for that. It started off, as you say, as holding back and not wanting to give an opinion. And now it's a little bit more about safety. And if I don't express an opinion, then I can't be arrested. I'm just sharing. So, especially on Twitter, because it's quite controversial stuff. But yesterday I replied to one celebrity's post because they were kind of calling for something I disagreed with. And it's interesting. I've got about 200-300 likes on that since yesterday, which is like, normally that's a bit of a shock for someone who steps back from expressing an opinion. But again, it was one of those where I just thought, actually, this is really quite wrong against my values. And it is about, I think, as well as the way you communicate it and the way you phrase things, in my opinion, this is how I feel. This is not, I'm not telling everybody you're wrong. It's just, this is my thoughts on the matter. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And it does come down to how you communicate it. And when we think of this one, and also it ties into the being responsible for people's feelings, what you should be responsible for is your own delivery. Yes. And expressing yourself clearly, communicating your point of view with an open mind as well, to be, I am open to be proven wrong if you bring me the facts to prove me wrong. And also the tone, and not being aggressive in it, and all those things, they are what you're responsible for. But you're not responsible for someone else's feelings if they're going to get angered at it, upset, and you're not responsible if they come to you, questioning you, calling you names, want to debate you on it, for instance. I mean, if they want to debate you on it, that's probably a great thing, because then you both can learn from that.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
If someone's just coming to you in an aggressive manner and you're avoiding the conflict of that, I think that's what's holding you back, then that's something that you need to acknowledge and work through in your own way. So, yeah, and it's great that you actually shared something that you cared about and it meant something to you, and you felt like you had to speak on that. And
yeah,
I think we have to find those things. We have to, when we do come across something that does connect with us in some way, or that we feel we need to speak out on, that we aren't held back from all of these reasons that we could be self-silencing, because our opinions are valid, our opinions are, they matter in the world. I think everyone should have the chance to speak up if they feel strongly about something. But as I said, you've got to deliver it in the right way. So that's a really important part. Okay, so that was number 4. And so number 5, the final one, is you feel you don't have a right or you're not good enough. And this one is, as I said, it's slightly different to number 3, that you feel your thoughts are insignificant, because it's more around your identity and how you actually perceive yourself. And It might be that you're just feeling that you're not qualified enough, that you don't have the right to share your thoughts on a specific matter because you've not had the experience, you've not put the hours in as such, as you alluded to earlier. And you just, sometimes I find that this also comes back to like life and the experience that we've been through in life, and we feel like we can't have a specific opinion on something maybe culturally because we've not lived that and we haven't got the lived experience of it. And I think I think we can still have perspectives and ideas and thoughts around those things and share them in a way that's polite and not aggressive in any way, but still actually be able to say them and feel we have a right to say them. And I think this one is just one of those that comes from a deep rooted sense of inadequacy and perceiving ourselves in a way that's just not, that we're not good enough. So maybe you have a strong opinion on some kind of like ethical practices in your industry, and you haven't been around for long enough, so you just think, oh, I can't say anything about that because that person's been doing it years longer than me, and even though I don't agree, like they're the ones that should know this anyway. And so you just start to question your own thoughts and ideas because you think those that you kind of put on a pedestal maybe have their opinions are more valid than your own. And I find this one becomes a big struggle with that. And also it ties into imposter syndrome as well. And feeling that your thought, like that if you was to say something, that someone would find you out as being a fraud in some way because you've not got the expertise that you think you should have. It just comes back to your own self-worth and not feeling like you have enough to actually say on the matter in the first place. So that one is number 5. Do you recognize that one at all?
Definitely. And one of the ways I get around it now is by asking myself, you know, if I don't feel I'm enough, what actually is enough? If I know this piece of information, I often assume that everybody else must know it, which is a really interesting way of looking at things. If I know it, everybody else knows it. When there are so many millions and billions of people in the world that won't know it and will find it really valuable, and that's kind of something to remember, that even if you've just learned something new and it's really made an impact on you, you sharing that will make an impact on someone else. So that's been quite a big one. And yes, the imposter syndrome as well. And one of the great things from the coaching programs and things that I'm a part of now is just to remember that the only person you should be comparing yourself to is yourself, and just noticing and acknowledging how much you're growing and how much difference you're making. And if you aren't making the difference you want to make, then there's two things. Are you being overjudgmental of yourself? And at the same time, is it something that you need to tweak and hone to make better? But that self-worth, we all have a right to be here. I use the metaphor of my dogs. They don't do a lot, but their very being has such a massive impact every day on my life and on everyone they meet. You know, they light people up. And you can do that just by showing up. And that's something that keeps me showing up and remembering that when I go into the I'm not enough side.
Yeah, I love that. I have dogs too, and it is that, like, the smallest things we can do they create ripples, and ripples can become waves.
Yeah.
And that's when you can make a bigger impact without even realizing, just by those little things that you do every day. And I love that. I love the metaphor you shared with the dogs, because I might have to steal that. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's absolutely fine. I mean, I'd just like to share, because of my imposter syndrome and my keeping myself from speaking up, that's why I've done this 100 Days of Happy. There's two reasons. One is I do actually feel that we're in a time where a little snippet of happiness every day is going to help. But the other part was for me to start showing up. So the beginning might not be very good, but hopefully by the end it'll be more honed and more shaped, and I'm finding my voice a little bit more. But the, as you say, the impact I hadn't expected was I just decided to upload them to YouTube. It wasn't, I haven't touched YouTube in years, and since 2013, 2014. And I decided to upload them to YouTube and just uploaded them and ignored them. And I'm getting 4,000 views a month because of that. And it's like, whoa, you know, it's gone up 3,900. So it's, and I'm getting new subscribers, I'm getting comments, I'm getting likes. And it's like, I had not anticipated anything. I just thought it would go into the ether and never be seen again. So sometimes just putting it out there, showing up, you are making an impact. It's good to remember.
Definitely. And that's a really important thing to remember. And you kind of touched on this here as well. It's about the journey. And even if you feel like you're not where you want to be, you're not expressing yourself in the way that you feel you should be in some way, it's all about the small gradual steps and the journey that you go on with this. And just taking your time to build up to showing up more often, and then be more consistent in your own way. And when I say consistent, and people talk about this all the time, it's really not about having to be there every single day. And it's about finding your own rhythm with it,
yes.
Finding your own way of showing up that works for you the best. And then, yeah, as you were saying, it's really just realizing that no matter what you do, just by showing up, you're making a difference in some way. And I have in my book, I've got a few tools, but I've got the what if game, and this is where you just take those what if questions that come up when you start to put yourself out there. And it could be, what if someone says something negative? What if I upset someone today? And then you flip that from the self perspective that you're in to the service perspective. And the service perspective could be, well, what if I make someone smile today? And when you just shift from that one, that tiny little step to, if I just do it, what if I do it and this happens? It just opens up your eyes to the possibilities. And I think that that's really powerful, that just by showing up, you could impact someone's life. If you don't, then you're not going to. So it's really, which way are you going to go? Are you going to, or are you just not going to? And I think it's really figuring out how you want to show up is part of the challenge. I get that. But
the other thing to remember as an introvert is that there are millions of introverts out there watching and not commenting. So you don't know who you're impacting. Uh-huh. Because they're not the ones that are going to engage, but they might be the very people that you're reaching out to. So.
Exactly, yeah. People can be lurkers.
Yes, I'm a lurker. Yes.
Yeah, so that was the five reasons, and really the first step of all of this, of trying to overcome self-silencing, to stop self-silencing, is the acknowledgement of why you are holding, and really getting clear on that. And when you can recognize it, when you can articulate it in some way, if you journal, maybe you can write about what comes up for you in those moments where you do hold back. And maybe it's more personal. It's not even going to the level of what you're holding back on social media. Maybe it's more in your personal life. What are you not saying to your friends and family that you feel like you can't in some way? And just reflecting on that, getting clear on where that fear is coming from, where the worries and the doubts are coming from, so that you can start to address it and take the steps forward that you need to. And it's a journey, as I said. I know I've spoke to a lot of introverts and quiet types like myself, and also more extroverted types that have these challenges too. It's not all just for the introvert people. And they say they have been through this journey too. I think we all kind of come up against some of these reasons you might be self-silencing in this journey, and continue as well. And I think a big struggle for those that get quite a big platform have a lot more to lose as well. And so there is a bigger challenge in that realm. I think you just got to get to a point where you feel confident and steadfast in your convictions, that you can stand by what you believe in. You're being your authentic self, and that's good enough. That you don't have to change who you are. You don't have to censor yourself in any way, because your perspective on life is valuable and people need to hear it. And so getting to that point where you just feel so confident, and it is a journey. I look back at my own journey and I just think there were times in my life where I just thought, I'm never going to stop caring what people think. I'm never going to move past this need for validation that I used to have. And there was one morning I got up many years ago, and I said to my partner at the time, why do I need people to validate me to be happy? And I was like, well, that's the problem there. I need to work on not feeling like I need external validation and that I'm validated by myself. And so that journey began for me, and it just takes time. And acknowledging, as I said, and working through it in your own way.
I think you make a very powerful point about it being an ongoing journey, and that there are always different levels. I think often, I know I have in the past, have thought, well, if I just have a breakthrough, it's all going to go away. But then there's the next level to get through, so it's always moving on. And I also like that you mentioned happiness, because this is the Choosing Happy podcast. It does have such an impact on happiness and how you show up in the world as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think when we can find our self-worth, we feel confident in our convictions and have this utter belief in our own thoughts and ideas, then you have less anxiety, you have less fear, you have less of those negative feelings, and you open up the door for happiness and contentedness in life. And so I think, yeah, it's as you say, it's all a journey, and it's all figuring out what your happiness is, I suppose, and really finding it within yourself.
Yeah. You mentioned your book. Could you tell us about your book?
Yes. So my mini book is called Stop Self-Silencing. And I go into the five reasons that I've talked about today in a bit more detail. And I also have three different tools in there. So I mentioned the what if game, but there's three other tools kind of just start you on this process of thinking differently and taking yourself out of this mindset of self-silencing and just starting that journey really to showing up and speaking out on social media and beyond and really finding yourself. Yeah.
Very, very powerful. Thank you. If you had one tip that you would want to share today, or one thought that you want to share today, what would that be?
Oh, one final thought. That I would say to kind of wrap everything up and bring it full circle is it's all about authenticity, this, and it's all about living your authentic life and finding the belief, the balance, and the belonging. And I think I did touch on that earlier, but they're the things I feel that we are lacking a lot of the time. And when we start to work on figuring out who we are, what we're all about, find our balance with our work and how we want to approach things, and then find belonging. And belonging is key to, well, it's one of the hierarchy of needs. We need to find our place. We need to find our people. And so when you do that, a lot of these challenges that we might face with self-silencing, when you surround yourself with the people who believe in what you believe in, that's when you're going to find that belonging and feel more contented and happy. So yeah, I think there are three things that you could probably take away and start to work on as well.
That's really powerful. So how do people get hold of your book? How do they contact you?
So my book is on Amazon, but if you go to fifimason.com/connect, you'll find all the links there. I've got some free resources, and then you can connect with me as well.
Okay, and I'll put those links in the show notes as well. Thank you so much. This has been fascinating and, yeah, just so powerful. Thank you, Fifi.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. If you enjoyed it or think it would be valuable to others, please do share. And if you really enjoyed it, please leave me a review. It really helps the podcast. All of the links are in the show notes, and I look forward to seeing you next week on the Choosing Happy podcast.